put it inside the forward 50. It's over the head of Lysett. He'll get to it first. Lysett gathers. He can run in. Steps around. And boots it through. He's got three.
From the good of Lana, had plenty of carry. Here's Saunders. They might be able to set something up here for the outer wing. Saunders backing himself. Kicks long into the goal square. That's got a throw. Oh, has he kicked some remarkable goals.
Welcome to the Monday Waffle Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Stamp. I'm joined by Jack Davidson and Katie D. Hare. How you going, guys?
Good.
Well, thanks, Stampy.
How about that Peel Thunder game?
Absolutely devastating.
Ugh, they were so close. They were up by 7 goals at halftime.
That must have hurt.
West Perth, I think they were leading for 6 minutes of the entire match.
Well, the 6 minutes that counted.
Anthony Salikas.
Yes.
Obviously, Peel's antichrist.
Yeah, he kicked the final goal from the forward pocket, deep in the pocket. Kicked a goal to put them in front with only a few seconds left. Just, oh, it would have crushed their hearts. They kicked 10 of the last 13 goals to run over them in the last quarter. So, unlucky for Peel. Very disappointing.
Yeah, and Katie, you were saying something very interesting about Peel just before.
Yeah, that's right. Peel haven't won a game since round 10, which was May 25th last year against East Perth at Bendigo Bank Stadium. So, that is 19 games. And that, I don't think that's their longest losing streak. I believe it's 24 or 25 games.
Oh, well, let's hope they don't get to that.
Yeah, well, no. Peel obviously have the talent. They just don't have the legs.
And they can't finish off games, exactly. They've got South Fremantle this weekend.
They do.
Is that a possible win for them?
Oh, well, the way South Fremantle's been going lately, I think they had the bye this week, but they've won three in a row, so...
Probably not, then.
No.
They might keep searching. Okay, our first game from the weekend was East Perth and Claremont. East Perth won 19 goals, 10, 124 to 6 goals, 8, 44. What'd you like about that game, Katie?
Yeah, fantastic. Brendan Lee, I think he had 31 disposals.
Back-to-back 30 games.
Yeah, back-to-back. Yeah, he's been fantastic. Stephen Payne as well was really good.
The Royals kicked the only 7 goals of the second quarter in that game, which is ridiculous in itself.
So the game was out of reach at halftime?
Yeah.
Well, I think we kicked the first 5. East Perth kicked the first 5 as well, so...
Wait.
Sorry, I was out there on the field.
You can see where your allegiance is like.
Yeah.
It is also Claremont's 5th loss of the season.
5th big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wheels are falling off the Tigers, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. And usually more than 64 points, and their average losing margin is 73 points.
That's not good, is it?
No.
Well, they were losing by 83 at three-quarter time, so they're quite lucky that they gained 3 points in the final term. So.
Well, that's good to see. Look, a few of their midfielders did try hard. Luke Blackwell had 29 touches. Tommy Taylor had 28, and then Jake Murphy returned, but he only had 20 touches. So they just need a forward line. They're too young. Thought they'd be a bit better this season, but look, they're lingering at second to last on the ladder.
And just before we shoot off to the next game, East Perth is just percentage back as well on 6-2, having played every side in the competition now. They've got a bye coming up, the state game and the Foxtel Cup and the WA Derby versus West Perth.
Tough few weeks ahead of them, isn't it? So they'll travel to Melbourne next week after the bye, is that correct?
Foxtel Cup game is in Perth against Norwood. That's at Patterson Stadium on Tuesday, May 27th.
Okay.
And we've only got one player for the state team, which the state game is in Sydney this year.
So that's
Paul Johnson.
Yeah, Soupy had quite a strong showing in that state team. If you haven't seen the state team, we posted it on our Facebook page, so check it out there. There's all the players on that list. Speaking about the Foxtel Cup, West Perth got a pretty good victory during the week.
They did. They had a nail-biting 2-point win over Box Hill Hawthorns affiliate club in the VFL.
That's a pretty good win.
Yeah, it was pretty fantastic at Etihad Stadium last Tuesday night. So good for them. They keep going. It's a knockout competition, so they'll soldier on. Maybe a East Perth-West Perth final, $100,000 up for grabs.
Okay, next game was Swan Districts defeating East Fremantle.
At Steel Blue Oval, 135-75. Swans are really heating up. They're the team to be at the moment. 6th straight win.
They're the story of the season, aren't they, Jack?
They won 50 points over my beloved Sharks.
But your Sharkies are in trouble.
Oh, they are drowning, mate.
Yeah, they're not doing well.
Someone's punched him in the nose and they're scared.
The shark cull started, hasn't it?
It sure has. But the thing is, they weren't there for the first three quarters. As much as it hurts me to say that, they weren't there. And they only really started fighting back in the fourth.
Yeah, that's right. They kicked three in the last. It was sort of like last week against East Perth. They kicked six or something to zero. So, yeah.
Matty Jukes kicked four goals again. He kicked six last week, four this week. He's playing very well at the moment,
yeah,
Jack.
Quite consistent.
I'm liking what I'm seeing from the big Jukester at the moment.
What about Ricky Carey? How many did he?
He kicked one on the weekend. So he's in front.
Bad.
He's in front on the Bernie Naylor in front of Benny Saunders, but that's because he had the bye. So Benny Saunders will come back and kick a bag and take over the lead. You would assume. Subiaco defeating Perth 16 goals 12 to 11 goals 8, 106 to 74. Subiaco just keep on trucking, don't they, Jack?
Yeah, mate. Subi is still on top because of percentage. Followed by the Swans. Look, they beat Perth at home, which must have hurt for the Demons.
Mm.
Yep, definitely. For sure. They actually had their scoring shots were, their accuracy was exactly the same. It was 57% for both sides. Subi just a few extra chances, and that's what got him over the line.
And a few good performances as well. Carl Horsley, 25 disposals, and George Hampson, 25 as well.
Yeah, good to see Georgie back. He missed last week. I think he had 25 touches and a goal this week, so he's playing well. He's in the state side.
Mm.
Very well deserved.
Not only that, now West Perth are now fourth over Perth. Because of Perth's loss and the thrilling nail-biter between West Perth and Peel.
And they don't even have a winning record. They're 3-4. So there's a real gap between the top three and then that bottom echelon.
And just a bit of a Morton watch this weekend. Cale, he kicked one goal and he had 34 disposals, and Mitch had 14 disposals. And Michael, happened to Jared?
Jared was a late withdrawal, replaced by Brennan Stack. Not a bad replacement, but...
Mm.
Still no Team Morton, is it, though?
No, it's no Team Morton. When the whole team's not there, nothing's going to happen. They're not going to happen. You need one in the forward line, one in the mid, and one is lingering around half back.
I think the four, the Ugal relations, the cousins and brothers, they were out this weekend. They had a family funeral to attend to, so they were out for Swans, Swans still got the win. So
the last game was West Perth defeating Peel. This was the blockbuster, capping it off on Sunday afternoon over at Arena Joondalup, that's what it is.
What a game.
What a game. Like, I texted you at halftime. I said, Peel are up by 7 goals at halftime. Could this be it?
I was losing my bananas.
Yeah.
I was just all over it. I didn't believe you.
No, I knew you didn't believe me. And then they came back. West Perth came within 5 goals at halftime. I mean, 3-quarter time. And then they got in front by a point with just in the dying seconds. They must have just been heartbroken, surely.
Shattering.
For the coach, Cam Shepherd, it'd certainly be very disappointing.
It was Anthony Saliki's kicking the winning goal. He had 27 touches, 10 marks, and then that final goal as well. Shane Nelson, your boy, Jack, just cleaning up another 30-plus game for him. And then
stop it.
Aaron Black, Aaron Black had 29. So they're racking it up in the midfield, and they got the win on the weekend.
Peel, though, Matty Tabner, he had 5 goals, which is...
Yes, Monday Waffles on Matt
Bonnie's,
Tabner.
Bonnie's buddy.
Yes.
Today we're joined by Alison Moore, who manages the girls' under-18s footy, who were lucky enough to beat Victoria on the weekend in the grand final.
Can you talk us through the atmosphere at the club following the win? How does it feel to be the premiers?
Oh, it's amazing. As you can still hear, my voice is still fairly hoarse. We had amazing support from the parents who came over. A huge contingent of parents travelled and stayed. A lot of them have been with us for sort of near on 3 or 4 years, some of them 5. The atmosphere on grand final night, we had almost the whole stands. There was 2 full stands there. And we had by far the biggest supporters base. Which became really important because Victoria always sort of do their little song as they like to psych everybody out. And we ended up, we had South Australia, Queensland, the Woomeras, who are the new Indigenous girls team, and everybody else cheering us on. So combined with the WA parents, it was just an electric atmosphere, and the girls responded and just played out of their skin, I think. But we always knew we had a really, really talented side, and we've been building this for you know, basically 3 years. And we injected probably 8 of our best 16-year-olds who also won the cup for the state schoolgirls 16s last year. So injected those, and with our experience under-18s who remained from last year, it was just a dynamic mix, and just everyone's on cloud nine.
And was it Asher Price kicked 2 goals in the win?
Oh, young Asher. Asher is Asher's one of my ex-students from St. Bridget's College when I was head of phys ed there, and just watching her grow up with her football and to play the way she played, I couldn't believe how straight she kicked for the entire tournament, but especially how strong she led and how confident she was. And, yeah, she was fantastic out there on the field. She brought everyone to life, and every time she got the ball, she slotted it through the middle. So
that's what you want to see.
It was what we wanted to see, but we almost didn't have her out there for the grand final. She'd left her gear, playing gear, back at the hotel.
Oh.
And at 4:30, we did a mercy dash. We were half an hour away, peak hour traffic in Canberra, and I said to her, right, you're in the car, stretch, do all your yoga, do whatever, and try and prepare for the match. And we got her back at 5:30, and the game had been going for 2 minutes, so she literally just ran out on field and then did what she did. So
thank goodness she did. Yeah. So you also had Hayley Miller was your grand final fairest and best.
Hayley's been with us near on 4 years now, and look, she's just one tough competitor, and she plays that half back line. She just plays it beautifully. Her speed, her power. And the fact that the commentators were calling her the blonde bombshell, she does have this amazing blonde ponytail, but her football skills are sublime, and she really, really deserved that the accolade. Mm-hmm. So she was best on ground.
And what's happening next for the WA team? Where to now?
Cool, where to now? Well, a lot of the 16s girls have, we've got 3 of those girls now backed up, and they go to Sydney in July for the schoolgirls competition. The schoolgirls are hoping to do back-to-back. The under-18s, the majority of them, are now back playing with their clubs, so they'll play club footy. And on the 19th of May, we've got several of the under-18s, together with a lot of the open women, have nominated for the AFL draft. So on the 19th of May at 4:30, we have they're looking for 24 new players to top up the current 12 girls who are remaining, with both the Bulldogs and the Melbourne sides. So again, the Melbourne side is coached by Michelle Cowan, who was our head coach of the under-18s, and Peter Searle, who is one of the Victorian coaches, she's coaching the Western Bulldogs side. So we currently have 6 of the West Australian girls have been retained in those sides, 1 in the Western Bulldogs and 5 in the Melbourne side. And then the coaches will then select their other 12 players each. So around Australia is very, very excited. We believe we should have a great deal of those picks on the back of how the girls have performed just recently in this carnival. And the fact that we had, 12 West Australian girls in that side, in both of those sides last year, we're quietly confident we should do very well on the 19th.
That's fantastic. All the best to you and your girls.
Strumming my pain. As Adelaide's Tom Lynch strums a pain in his jawbone, we hit Medibank Stadium to see if Waffle fans think that new rules are killing the game softly.
Killing me softly.
Well, to be honest, I'm a rugby league kid from way back.
What's so funny about that?
Rugby league kid from way back.
Rugby league, what a joke.
I grew up playing rugby league, which I think when you look at AFL, it's probably a little bit soft just comparing the two codes.
Do you think the game's getting too soft?
Yes.
Thanks for your insightful comments. I need to find an expert on all things soft. Joey from Joey's Soft Serve will be able to tell us all about whether the game's getting too soft.
I don't have time to follow it usually, so...
The most popular soft serve you've got here?
I think this one and this one.
Single rocket and hedgehog? Yeah. Well, you're an expert on soft things. Thanks so much for your time.
Do you think the AFL game's getting too soft?
In some respect, I think it is, and I think it's quite illogical in many ways, and they're making changes all the time. But then you have the bump where Fife gets rubbed out, Viney gets rubbed out, Viney gets let off, and Fife still has to carry the penalty. I think it's all wrong.
Yeah, I believe so, definitely. It's I think the beauty of the game is like a hard sport. I think it's losing that charm a bit.
Like, with the Viney incident, like, it's almost like the bumps like going out of the game, like, but the AFL like really cracked down. I think, yeah, it's becoming a bit softer now.
If you could talk to Gillon McLachlan and ask him to reverse or introduce any rule, what would it be?
I don't know. There's like a lot of things I would want to like reverse in terms of making the game softer.
Yeah, I'm not sure like, about the rules side of it, but like I like the bumps in the fair play. I think they're like putting in too many rules that just like. They're like just compounding on rules they already have right now, and like just putting them in, like just to show that they're making a difference to the game, make it safer. But I don't think, like, no one really wants it to get any softer right now. I don't see nothing wrong.
Among many others, I think the bump would have to be rated as one of the highest ones, because it is illogical now, and players, when they're running at full speed, quite often don't have the opportunity to stop and pull out of a contest.
And we don't want to see them do that, do we?
We certainly don't.
I don't think they need to curtail too many things. Head-high tackles in AFL are pretty weak compared to what you see in rugby league. So
again, with the rugby league.
I understand kids when they don't tackle till they're 12. So in rugby league, you learn to tackle when you're 6. So everyone kind of grows up learning to tackle, but when kids are learning to tackle at 12, they've grown, there's different sizes. Younger kids probably struggle to tackle the bigger kids because they haven't learnt it when every kid's the same size. So probably need to look at that more than anything.
So I'm not sure if the rule's the problem, it's just everyone's interpretation of that rule and whether, you know, a player is actually making a genuine attempt to, you know, do what he's always meant to do and taught to do as a kid.
Well, I think it is too subjective, and I think that they're taking some of those rules just too much to the letter of the law and not looking at the context of the game and the way in which incidents occur.
And most importantly this week, have you guys bought your mums their Mother's Day presents?
Yeah, bought her some slippers today.
Yes, I have. I got her some perfume, actually.
Yeah, no, it's Saturday, shops are open. yeah, there's some nice discount chemists around.
Thanks for getting your tips out with Tara down here at Medibank Stadium, where I think we can all agree we learned that there's nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. Don't soften our sport unless it's in the form of a soft serve from Joey. And Mama, we love you. Happy Mother's Day. See you next week.
Time for tips.
Okay, the first game is on Saturday afternoon. Swan Districts v Claremont. What do you reckon?
It's a runaway, I think. You got to choose Swans.
I thought you were going to say Claremont for a second there.
Oh,
no.
It give you a mini heart attack?
Are they going to win by over 100, Swans? That's
at
a legitimate question.
Triple digits.
Yeah, maybe like 110 or something, but I think just to be a bit different, I'll tip Claremont.
You're only losing the lead more.
I don't know why you're doing this.
I said I would, so I better stick to it. I'm a woman of my word, so...
We've got Bonnie coming up with the tips. She'll give us the leaderboard at the moment, but Katie, you're slipping. I'm going Swans with a comfortable victory.
Agreed.
Okay, the next game is Peel v South Fremantle. Katie.
Peel.
Yes?
Yeah.
Jack.
Oh, I'm going to choose South Rio.
Yeah. I'm going Peel as well. I think they're going to win it. I think this is their time. They played well on the weekend. I hope there's not many Dockers that come out of the side because that will severely dent their hopes. I'm going for Peel in an upset at home as well.
Their first win in 19 matches. Yep.
They're going to do it.
Bring it on. Bring it on. All right, we got the Demons of Earth. We got the Demons versus the Sharks. I'm going to go for the Sharks on this one. And Demons are playing at home again.
Tough one, this one. Both equal on 12 points on the ladder. I'm going to go with the Demons at this one just because they're at home.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard to go past Perth. I think they should win over East Frio.
Great pick there, Katie. The last one is Subiaco versus West Perth. This is probably the toughest game of the weekend, I would say. I think the Lions...
First versus fourth or fifth?
First versus fourth, yeah, you're right. Just because they're in great form at the moment. And West Perth coming off the Foxtel Cup game and the tough win against Peel on the weekend. I think Subiaco's had a more cruisy run into this game.
Yeah, agreed. I'm going to go Subi for me as well.
And I'll third that, Subi.
Great.
Such an exciting round this week. We have Michael, Jack and myself. We got 4 out of 4.
You!
3-way high five.
Yeah.
Nice.
Lucky our tipping is better than our high-fiving skills. So that was really exciting to see because that's the first time the Monday Wafflers have gotten 4 out of 4.
Only took us 8 rounds.
Yeah, it did take 8 rounds, but that's okay. We'll pretend it didn't. We really are improving week to week. Hopefully next week we can get 5 out of 4.
What?
All right, so... The leaderboard has changed. Jack and Michael are on the top with 19 points.
Oh, yeah. Woo! Yeah, we're coming.
And
the boys
I'm one
back in town.
I'm 1 point behind on 18. I've come from the bottom.
So that means Katie has slipped.
Katie is making this tipping competition very interesting. She's choosing, as we've heard earlier with her tips for next round, she's chosen Claremont and Peel. So she's trying to mix it up a bit. Yeah, you've tipped Peel as well. But I'm very excited about that because now we're finally going to have a degree of separation between Michael and Jack's tips that we haven't yet had. So you're both equal on 19 because you're holding each other's hands while you're choosing your tips
it's
and doing the same. So that'll be exciting. I can't wait to have a chat next week so we can see who's come out on top because of how different this week's tips have been. Katie, though, I'm not too sure what to say. I think we need to have a bit of a chat and help her because, she was top of the ladder last round and she slipped to fourth. And next week, I can probably say she'll be bottom.
If Claremont do win, though, we owe her a massive apology.
I'm going to be silenced forever.
Yeah. I think she can do the show by herself next week if she gets it right.
Also with Peel, hopefully this won't be the week that they pull out their first win because then she really will be rubbing it in.
I can feel it. They will.
Nah, Jack, I'm really glad that we've gone with South Rio.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
You!
Keep kicking goals.
Kick more goals than points.
Gun barrels straight.